Are you ready for the word? Let us go into the word this morning. If you have your Bibles, which I believe you should be, we're talking to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're looking at the believer's walk. And we're using this series to try to tackle what the walk based on love walk and the conduct of a believer. Because they're really interwoven. And I've tried to use the first two teachings to establish certain fundamentals about the Christian faith, about our being saved or the eternity of our salvation. And we've come to understand that the believer is not saved based on his or her conduct. The believer is saved based on what Jesus has done in the resurrection. So it means that anybody who has believed the gospel is forever, perpetually, continuously saved and safe in the hands of God. Are we together? So the goal for the believer's love walk and the goal for the believer's conduct is not because you want to, you know, make heaven. You know, it's interesting to see a lot of people think that when we talk about the believer's conduct, they feel that they are being attacked. A lot of people believe that when we talk about the believer's conduct, it looks like we're just trying to condemn people, or we just want people, or some people even call some of us judgmental. If your conduct and your love walk wasn't important, when you got saved, you should have disappeared from the earth. Are we together? If your conduct and your love walk is not important, you know, you should have Now, it's important for the saint to know the difference between judgment and condemnation. In fact, it's been strong on my heart right now or in recent times, you know, to give ourselves or to pay attention to what judgment is in scriptures, what judgment really is in scriptures, or what condemnation is from scriptures. You know, I will do a full series on that to explain that. What is judgment? Right? What is condemnation? Because we're not in a phase and time where it looks like the moment where you correct certain acts amongst believers, the first thing they want to see you as is a judgmental person. Are we here? Or you are condemning people? You know, but there's a place to judge. Are we together? As long as you're within the confines of the word, there's a place to judge and there's a place to condemn things. Are we together? Let me say it one more time. There's a place to judge. There's a place to condemn things. There's a place to condemn and say there are some things that are outrightly wrong you ought to condemn as a believer. And there are things that are outrightly wrong in the love walk of believers that you ought to say, no, you ought not to do that way. You ought not to act that way. So there's such a thing called judgment amongst ourselves, condemnation amongst ourselves. But in spite and despite, there must be a sense of assurance that is gotten when the scriptures are taught. And look at the Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, are you there? Look at verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto what? Salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You know, it says all scriptures are given by inspiration of God, and they are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto what? All good works. Now, we saw in scriptures that 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, would tell us to grow in grace. Are we together? And we say growing in grace is to grow in the what? Knowledge of our Lord and dear Savior. We've also come to establish in this series, like in other series, that scriptures will be Genesis to Malachi to Jesus, then the apostles, then by extension to us, we would have first Genesis to Malachi, then by extension Genesis to what? Revelations. And we try to explain that when Paul tells Timothy that thou hast known the Holy Scriptures from when you've been a child, he's not talking about the book of Ephesians or Galatians, but he's talking particularly about the writings of Moses, the prophet, and the Psalms, which he called Genesis to what? Malachi. So the question now becomes, when it comes to the conduct of believer, what do we see? You know, one of the ways we can see this concept is from paying attention to who our Master and our Savior really is. What do I mean by that? You know, there are lots of things that some of us do, and if Jesus were to be in the flesh, you would not do that in front of him. Are we together? Are we together? If Jesus were to be in front of you, or Jesus were to stand in front of you, or to be associated around you. So for instance, I use this example when I'm teaching. If I'm teaching any message that if they tell me Jesus is on his way in the flesh, coming into church, and because I hear Jesus is on his way, I begin to change what I teach, it means that what I was teaching before is not what I ought to have taught at all. Because the church of Jesus is a place whereby if Jesus were to come back again in the flesh, you know, I mean like a man and be seen amongst us like that, you know, like he was before his crucifixion, we should be comfortable in the fact that he will sit down and listen to what we have to say. Why? Because we are teaching the same scriptures in which he taught from. Are we together? Are we here?
Yes, sir.
Are you sure?
Yes, sir.
So it means that as saints, there are certain things we ought to pay attention to as believers. And like I said, it's easy to assume that when you are being corrected based on conduct, the person is condemning you. And it's easy to assume that when you are corrected on conduct, you are portrayed as someone who is judgmental. But there is a place for being judgmental as a believer, and there's a place to condemn certain acts as believers. Now, there's a difference between condemning someone and condemning an act. Are you here? Are you with me? There's a place where you conduct or condemn an act, and you are not condemning a person. Why? Because Jesus will never or will not be found condemning a believer, for instance. So the question now becomes, as a saint, you have to grow and be matured to know the difference between when you are corrected, and that is a correction to condemn your act and not your person. There's a difference between judging an act and judging a person. The believer ought to be judgmental. Are you with me here this morning? The believer ought to be a condemnator. What a believer ought not to be is a judgmental or a person who judges people, but judges what? Acts. Can we say judge actions? Can we say a believer can condemn an action? So when you find yourself in a place where you feel like you are condemned because God's word is taught, it really simply means that your grasp or your understanding of what the gospel comes, you know, the gospel's message comes with a condemnation. I hope you know that. You know that the gospel is that Christ died for your sins and he resurrected for your sins so that he can live in you. And anybody who doesn't believe that is what? He's condemned. That means Christ condemns. Are we together? That means Christ judges. So can we say anybody who doesn't believe that is judged? So God is a judge. So it's interesting to see people now begin to feel or assume that, you know, the believer's conduct, we've explained, if you've been listening to me for a while, you should know that amongst anything you should know that I'm very loud on is the fact that a believer is saved continuously forever. You can't listen to me once, twice, three times and not know that is my stand. So when I'm teaching about believers' conduct, you don't think I'm trying to allow you to adjust your lifestyle so that you can make heaven. Heaven is not a conversation. Your believers' love work, your believers' conduct is not to make heaven. Are we together? Your believers' conduct, your believers' love work, your walk on the earth is solely for men. Are we together? So we're going to look in scriptures and to answer from scriptures, what is the weighing factor for us as believers when we are talking about the believer's love work? Because a lot of us feel like because the Christian faith is overwhelmingly full of love and full of love, so welcoming, you can remain the way you are when you come into the Christian faith. No. The Christian faith is such a faith that you take your shower and there's such a thing as using your towel to towel your body. What is the shower? The shower is the bath, the new bath, the bath, the shower you have, rather, when you have your bath in the morning. I mean, if you wake up in the morning and the first thing you do before you enter the bathroom is to wear your body. Who's like that? You just wake up in the morning, my dear, just give my towel and first to wear your body. I'm going to bath. You don't do that. What do? You express yourself. You come to the water washes you, then you what? Dry up your skin with your towel. Do you think it requires effort to dry your skin? It requires effort. You're using energy. Energy. That is what the conduct is. So the Christian faith is a bath and a toweling of body. It's a combination of two. Such that when your body is not well, remember when we were small, I'm sure a lot of us had that experience. Our parents always had an issue with the way we tore our body. Most of us didn't used to tore our back. Right? Because the first thing you just see is there's still water on your what? It requires effort. So the Christian faith comes together, the Christian walk comes together with the shower and the towel. So a lot of us expect that we don't pay attention to conduct because the shower is for everybody. Yes, it's for everybody, but you can tell if you have grown through how you towel your body. Are you with me? How do you know you've grown? Over the years, when your parents kept complaining about how you don't towel your back, what happens? You start learning the pattern of throwing your towel behind and doing like this. It's not all of us. And you're doing like this. Why? How does your mom know you've grown? What, all of a sudden, you attain an age or without a number. All of a sudden, you now enter your bathroom, you have your shower, you towel your body, you iron your clothes, you wear your clothes, and you what? You appear in the living room. Are we together? How would your mom will now say what? Well, you are growing. You are becoming a big boy. So the Christian faith is a combination of what? Being exposed to the holy shower of God, which is the holy water by his blood, by his spirit, and what you ought to do. So the question to a lot of believers is it wrong to do so, so, and so? Is it wrong to not do so, so, and so? Pastor, is it wrong to? It's a very fundamental question. And a believer who has grown, we will know the right question to ask in certain conversations. What do I mean? When you are a believer who is still asking, is it wrong? Is it not wrong? Is it wrong? It means you've not come to understand the reason why conduct is important. Let me get to the end of my teaching first. Because believer's conduct is not a conduct for the believer that the believer ought to ask himself if it is wrong or if it is right. But to a large extent, what will the love of God do? Are you here? What will the love of God do? What will the love of God do? What will the love of God tolerate? So it means that there are lots of things, listen to me everybody, there are lots of things you will want to do that your mind will tell you is not wrong, but somewhere in your heart you feel like it might be wrong. And even though you are 99% sure that it is not wrong, but you are 1% uncertain that it is wrong, you will use that 1% because of the love of God to overshadow the 99%. Are you with me? We'll look at that from scriptures in 1 Corinthians. You will use that 1% to overshadow the 99%. Why? Because that is why you see Jesus who summarized the commandments of the law of Moses and all of that and say that he's summarized in two. He says, first, love the Lord thy Lord, love thy Lord thy God, and love thy what? Neighbor as thyself. And I will explain what love thy neighbor as yourself meant on Wednesday. So love your neighbor as yourself is a conversation for the believer to love his neighbor as he has been loved by who? By God. Are we together? So if that is fundamental to your basic living, you realize that a lot of fights and conversations we have as believers, they ought not to have been had at all. Are we together? There are certain places I will not be, not because it is wrong to be there. But I will not be there because the first question that comes to my mind is, what will the love of God do? You see, the believer is someone who ought to pay attention to the love of God such that it becomes a yardstick and a boundary to the activities he or she does. Are we together? Look at Galatians chapter 1 quickly. Galatians chapter 1. What will the love of God do? Are you in Galatians 1? Look at verse 6. Or look at verse 4. Look at verse 3. It says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself. Now, gave himself, is that a past tense? Is that past tense? Who gave himself for what? Sins? Are we there? Galatians 1:3. He gave himself for our what? Sins, prosperity? All right, so gave himself for what? our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our what? Father. Verse 5 now says, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now verse 6 says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto what? Another gospel. Now, I marvel that ye are so soon removed that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now, what is the grace of Christ about? What is the grace of Christ about? Okay, look at verse 3 again. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave. So can we say the grace of God is about the fact that he gave himself? So what is Paul addressing? God has given himself in the person of Christ, and I'm surprised that ye are so removed from that knowledge. That's why it says that ye are removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ, into another gospel. He now says in verse 7, he says, which is not another, but there be some that what? Trouble you. Now, the word there, trouble, is the word gotten from the word tarazo. Tarazo. Now, and I will show you how that word is used. If you can quickly hold your hands in Galatians, run with me to Matthew's Gospel 2, verse 3, and Matthew's Gospel 14. I'll just quickly read that for you to see. Matthew's Gospel 2, verse 3. Let me read that for you. He says, When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. Are you together? He was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. So Herod heard something, and he was troubled. Matthew's Gospel 14, verse 26. He says in verse 26 that, and when disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were what? Troubled. Now the word, they were troubled, saying it is a spirit, and they cried out of what? For fear. So what did the trouble cause? Fear. So the trouble first comes as trouble, then creates what? Fear. So it means that the word trouble will come with fear. Can we say it comes with anxiety? Can we say they were anxious? Can we say it comes with panic? So trouble oftentimes has to do with the state of your what? Your mind or your heart. So what is Paul saying in Galatians 1? Are we together? Look at Acts 15. Look at Acts 15, 24. Acts chapter 15, verse 24. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with what? With words. Acts 14, 24. Are you there? For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and what? Keep the law, to whom we gave no such words, command. That's the same word, trouble. Hallelujah. So what caused the trouble in Acts 14, 24? Something that was different being said. Are you here? Something that was different being what? Said. Look, now go back to Galatians 1. So Paul will say, but there be some that trouble you. Now look at Galatians 5, verse 10. Galatians 5, verse 10. Are you here? Are you here? Have you gone home? Lovely. Look at Galatians 5:10. Are you there? So he says, I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his what? Can you see? So Paul teaches about what? Judgment. Like I said, the gospel is a message that comes with judgment and condemnation. The question is, what it judges and condemns is not what the average world will say as judgment and what? Condemnation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when Jesus, like I said on Sunday, Jesus met a woman and said, and they were about to stone her for what? Adultery. Right? And said, he that has no sin should throw the first what? Stone. What happens? All of them dropped their stones and they what? Went away. What did Jesus do according to Wednesday's teaching? He picked a stone and stoned her. What stone? The stone that what kills condemnation. Now, let me ask you a question. What condemnation did Jesus' stone kill? Condemnation of act or condemnation of person? Act. So when he says, neither do I condemn you, does he mean that what she did was right? So can we say Jesus condemned without condemning? Or let me say this way. Can you say Jesus condemned and did not condemn? He condemned the act, but did not condemn the person. So the gospel is a message that comes with condemnation. It's a message. So can we say Jesus judged the woman? So he judged that act, and in judging the woman, he stoned the woman with the stone that kills condemnation. Are you here? So look at what Paul says. He says, there be some that are troubled, and they shall bear their judgment whosoever. Look at chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 4. He says, and that because of false brethren, now when we're teaching about the Antichrist, we saw Paul uses false brethren, right? We saw false brethren, false teacher, and what? False prophet, lovely. And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring unto us what? Us into what? Bondage. To whom we gave place by what? Subjection. No, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Now see what Paul now says in chapter 5 verse 1. Are you chapter 5 verse 1? I want everybody to be in Genesis, Galatians chapter 5 verse 1. Are you there? Say, if you are there, say, I'm there. If you are not there, say, wait for me. Okay, so Galatians 5 1. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Right? Behold, I Paul say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you. So he keeps on going on in that conversation, you know. Then he now says something very interesting. He says, look at verse 13. Everybody be in Galatians 5:13. Let's read verse 13 together. Are you there? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. For brethren, ye have been called into what? Unto what? Liberty. What did he say next? Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. What does that mean? You feel that because you are free and free indeed. In Christ, I'm free indeed. No chains are, how do you sing it? No chains are holding me. Is who I choose to be. Now, Paul says that liberty of what yours will be received. He says, make sure you use not that liberty for an occasion for or to the flesh. What does that mean? Because I'm saved. I know I love people, but there are some parts of a fleshly conduct I want to tolerate. Because what? I am free. There are some parts of fleshly conduct or fleshly activities I would rather keep doing. Why? Because after all, we are saved and saved forever by his blood. It's his blood that washed us. After all, the pastor says we've made heaven. So heaven is not a goal. Heaven is the beginning point. Altogether, it's not heaven at last, it's heaven at first. Pastor has taught us. So, you know, pastor should be able to, you know, just, Paul tells you, he says, you've been called into liberty, but make sure you don't use this liberty as an occasion to the flesh. Are we together? Look how it says in the next line, 1, 2, 3, go. But by love, serve one another. Now, verse 14 together, what does it say? For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Remember, we've taught that. Are we together? Thou shalt love thy neighbor. So what is this saying? Let love be the fulcrum by which you do or not do certain things. Hallelujah. Let love be the fulcrum by which you are found doing certain things. Or now let me explain that a little further. You know, there's some things you won't find me doing, for instance, as a pastor, because I love you all. Are we together? There's some things you won't find me do as a pastor because of my love for you. So I am using love as a fulcrum, as a foundation to render service to you as a saint. So what did Paul say? Paul says you have liberty. You are in those things, you don't mark points with God. Hallelujah. But your lifestyle, your conduct, your love work is for men. That's why he says, but by love, serve what? One another. So it means that the question or the fundamental thing that should be on the lips of believer is that what? Let love win. Hallelujah. Let love win. Let love win. So this is the same Paul. Listen to me carefully. Paul opens up Galatians chapter 1 verse 7 and says, I marvel that some people are teaching another supposedly troubling gospel. What would I have thought? Now remember, Paul is saying tarazo based on a troubling message that brings what? Fear, anxiety, or panic. Listen carefully what I'm about to say. Paul starts Galatians 1 to say, if anybody preaches any message that brings fear, right, that brings panic, that troubles your heart or keeps you out in a state of being unsettled, what did he say to the person? He says, let us accost him, let him be accosted. In the same Galatians 3, he now tells you, oh foolish Galatians. He now tells you, stand in liberty which you received. He now tells you, you've received liberty. Don't use this liberty for the flesh. That means, what he was talking about as troubling message is not necessarily the message that corrects the believer. Are you here? Don't use back. You know, some people will now start using back door. Pastor, this one you are saying like this, we should not do like this, not do like this. But Paul say, don't trouble us. Pastor, you are doing tarazo. Pastor, you are troubling us. The same Paul in Galatians tells you, anybody that preaches, so it means that despite and in spite, what comes to you as correction, there is such a place of assurance in what you've received. That's why Paul wasn't dreaming when he said the scriptures are given by inspiration of God and they are profitable for what? For teaching, for doctrine, for what? Reproof, for what? Correction, for instruction in righteousness. Dear saint, there's a place to be corrected though. Dear saint, there's a place I ought to be corrected though. Dear saint, there's a place you ought to be corrected though. So it means that when you are corrected and God's word is taught with a full assurance, you don't see it as a troubling message. Paul tells you, he says, you've been called into liberty. He uses it twice in chapter 5. You see this liberty? Don't use your liberty as a reason to give room to the what? The flesh. Why? Because you are a man of the spirit. That's why when I go to chapter 5, that's in chapter 5 verse 14, it says, walk ye in the what? Spirit. And ye shall not fulfill the what? The lust of the flesh. Are we together? So there's such a thing as walk in the spirit. We'll look at that in this series as the days unfold. And we realize that the walk of the spirit is the walk of love. And the walk of love is the service we render to other people by love, through love, in love. So what will be paramount in your mouth is, what will the love of God say? What will the love of God do? Now, Jesus is the totality of God who is love. Yeah, this is what I said. God is love. Is that true? God is the fullness of love. And Jesus is the manifestation in the flesh of God. So if Jesus is God and God is love, we say Jesus is love. So you can ask yourself a simple question. What did Jesus do on certain conversations? What did Jesus teach on certain conversations? Are we together? So Paul was addressing Galatians 5 that there were people who were preaching messages that were unsettling people. Let me tell you what the message of unsettling means. Let me even explain this to you. If you don't wear long skirts, you are going to what? Hellfire. Don't people teach that? Have you not taught it before? Eh? If you don't cover your body. Now, that is a message. Whilst it has an instruction you should obey as a believer, comes with a troubling slant that creates fear. What now happens? You now, because you want to make heaven, start doing those things. Are we together? This conduct conversation is a very important conversation for the believer. You know, you can teach God's word with head knowledge and not leave it. You can know the Greek words and not be a love, and not walk in love. You can know the Greek word, philo, agape, this one, bbb. And I hope you know agape is not the love of God. Huh? You are owing me, Sister Ubog. Don't laugh there. You are owing me. Right? Agape is not the love of God. The same way zoe is not the life of God. Right? Agape is just a word that means love and can be used for the love of this world. Love, any kind of love. So many kind of love, really. But it's not the love of God. So agape is not the love you've received. You get that? Let me say that in part, and I'll teach that some other time. Right? But in the recent, you can have all the Greek words, even Latin words. and yet not expose your heart to God's word to see that your conduct and your lifestyle on earth and in earth generally should be founded on the concept of what will the love of God do? Are we together? Are we together? So there's a difference between a message that says you ought to look like this to make heaven. No, we have taught you over and over the years that you don't make heaven because of how you look. Your conduct, your love walk is not to make heaven. Your love walk is a response to God's love walk to you. Remember I said something. Thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. Who was the first neighbor? Or who was the first person that became your neighbor? God was the first person who became your neighbor to love you so you see how you love your neighbor. So in looking at the love of God, you see by default the love that you owe. Look at Romans 13. So the Christian faith is such a faith that comes with an assurance of faith. Are we together? Are we together? The Christian faith is not that faith that makes you want to always give your life to Christ again. And some of you here, if I ask how many times have you given your life to Christ, you'll say 5, sir. Why? Because it means that you gave it the first time you collected it. You say, God, I'm not doing it again. And that person now preached a very soothing message. It touched your heart. I surrender. You gave back to God. And God now say, you see this one you want to collect, take it, and this is the final one. No, the concept of giving your life to Christ is the concept of your response to receiving the life God has given or offered to you. So we see a lot of people rededicating and rededicating over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Why? Because there is a sense of condemnation. You know, people teach that makeup takes people to hell. I hope you know. Right? If God wanted you to be light-skinned, he would have painted you like that from the womb. And I hope you know that God doesn't make children in a planet and throw on the earth. I hope you know. I hope you know. This is why we are laughing at ourselves. God doesn't... All those before you form me, I know you. All those grandma, this thing. If God did not know you would do well, why did he bring you to the earth? It's just... Right? How are babies formed? That's an extensive teaching we ought to touch one day. But babies are formed when man and woman meet. That's why only one, the father theory, which is the birth of Jesus. Are we together? So babies are formed the same way giraffes are formed. It's God's principle on the earth. Are we together? Now, in the real sense, a lot of us believe that when we hear certain messages, the next thing we want to do is to read. You know the concept of rededication. It's interesting when I see people rededicating their life that they never dedicated before. What is dedication? To give yourself to someone or to a cause. You were never given to service. You are rededicating what? You know why it's a faulty narrative? Because the first thing you did in resurrection was already faulty as they taught you. Because they taught you that you came to what? Give. A man that receives salvation is someone who did not have a life. Then when he comes and believes the message, he now has the life of God. Are we together? So your conduct, your walk on the earth. Look at Romans 13. Are you there? Look at Romans 13 verse 8. Let's read verse 8 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Owe no man anything but to what? He's not saying don't borrow money. You know some people use the scripture and say, Bible says, oh no man. They don't know where it is. Oh no man, oh no man. I'm not saying go and owe people. Are we here? I'm not saying go and what? You know, it takes a level of integrity for you to collect something from somebody and tell the person when you will give the person back and give the person back. Or if you cannot give the person back, you follow up with the person on the day you promised. That's why I always tell you something as a church, right? This is personal, it's not from scriptures. But I don't know how to borrow people money. Are we together? This is my personal lifestyle. I don't know how to borrow people money. It's not in my DNA. Because I can't be having sleepless nights over our relationship because of what you collected from me. So what do? Anyone I can afford, I give you to go in peace. Are we together? What that does, that's a love walk. Because what that does for two of us is it doesn't put us in a place where we are dodging ourselves. The heart of man knows how to run. So rather than allow your brethren run from you, put them in a place where they will walk beside you. So what do I do as a principle? If you tell me you need 100,000 naira, for instance, and I can afford 2,000 naira, if you like, go and call the heavens and the earth to bear yourself witness. Go and check my BVN and know how much I have in my account. That's your business. What I can afford is what I give you. Believers cannot will teach you not to be entitled to people's money. You know, some of us are so entitled. Investor. By the time I collect this one, I'll do that one. Money you are not working for. You don't know investor. I love that guy. Right? You want to start business. You don't have capital. But you're using people's capital to start. Sister Esther Willie, she can drop two. Sister Agatha, you know. By that, Sister Agatha drop five. Sister Precious drop seven. That's 12. And I will start. I will start with my shop. I love that guy. Are we together? Right. But that is the, you know, the reason why I watch a lot of these things is that they live the life of people in their skits. They live the life of people in their skits. A lot of people are too entitled. It's not a conduct of the believer to be too entitled. Did that work for you? That's the truth. If anybody gives you, that some of you, they give you 2,000 naira, you, the way you rejoice is little. But when they give you 20, hey, thank you. Even 3 months after, thank you for that day. No, don't have a sense of entitlement. Everybody, let me tell you something, everybody has their money. It's your money they don't have. Are we here? You're laughing. Everybody, Brasa, you're laughing. Everybody has money. It's your own. They don't have. So leave them to their own. Go and get your own. Go and get your own. That's why I tell people, don't bite more than what you can chew. Let me tell you something. Not everybody will be rich. So what do you do? Whilst there's a place of drawing a line to dream big, don't dream big with people's money. Sister Prosperous earns 350. Sister Nengi earns 720. So she gave me just less than 7%. I will now arrange it this way. Then use that. I'll rent a shop. Some of you are supposed to be using your house as your first shop to start. But no. The reason I said all of this is because some of you now will hear when the Bible says, oh no, man is not about money. You see, pastor says we can be owing people. I don't want you to stop hearing God's word. Because sometimes you see somebody and you will know that, see, this person will not pay back in the 3 days he told you. You understand? That's why you just know like that. So, in the research, let me help you by not giving you a reason to run away from church. Let's be seeing our face. Let's be hearing God's word together. Honestly speaking, it will help you a lot if you tell somebody, I'll pay you back this money. Give me 5 years. This money I'm talking about, just give me 5 years. Sister Esther Willie. You see, two of us, we are like this before God. Give me 5 years, I'll give you back. But I know it's 5 years I want to pay. I say, give me till next week. Give me till next week. You will not realize it's 5 years until that 5 years now come. Now look back. I say, it was 2016, no. I say, it was 2014, no. No, be a man of integrity. It's part of believers' conduct. Let people know you as your word as true, yes or no. Or yes and amen. Oh, no man anything but to love. Are we together? For he that loveth another has fulfilled the what? He has fulfilled the law. Do you hear what he said? He that loveth has fulfilled the law. He now says, for this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, nor steal, nor all of them. He's quoting from, you know, and Moses. He now says, thou shalt not covet. Are you there? And if there be any other commandment, let's see what it says. It is briefly what? Comprehended in this saying. What is Paul saying? You can summarize the commandments of scriptures in this saying. That's what it means, like briefly comprehended. What did he say? thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So, what is the reason for your love work, your conduct? It is the fulfillment of the commandment of scriptures. Now, you know, we've tried to put an exegesis between what the law is. Are we together? The law of the spirit and the law of works. And we said, in the law of faith, we have the law of the Ten Commandments, so to say. Why? Because it is hinged around the fulcrum of what? By love, serve one another. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, when it comes to a doctrine that doesn't make you to be assured of your eternal place, look at 1 Thessalonians 4:14. Are you there? Are you in 1 Thessalonians 4? Look at 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 14. See what it says quickly. For if we believe, are you there? 1 Thessalonians 4:14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which what? Sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Hallelujah. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of Jesus Christ shall not prevent them which are what? Asleep. That means not, you know, Paul now telling Corinthians, we will not all sleep. Are we together? He now says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. Are we together? And the dead in Christ shall what? Rise first. Then we which are what? Alive and remain shall be what? Caught up together with him in the cloud. Hope you know it is not the cloud in the sky. You will not be floating on this in the sky, oh, if that's what is keeping you going. Remain, they shall be caught up together in the air, or in the cloud rather, to meet the Lord in the air. Are we together? To meet the Lord in the air is not about breeze. We'll look at that in days to come. Right? It now says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now let's just verse 8 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Wherefore, comfort one another. That means the teaching of the resurrection of the saints, or the last days, or what happens after death, should be a message that comforts a believer on the earth. Are we together? Are we together? So any message that doesn't bring comfort and assurance to your eternal state is a message of trouble that Paul warned against, not a message that corrects you. Do you hear what I just said? Paul wasn't teaching against a message that brings correction. Paul tells in 2 Timothy, he says what? That from a child you know the Holy Spirit. He says scriptures are given by inspiration of God. They are profitable for teaching. In teaching we find what? Reproof. What is the word reproof? The word reproof is gotten from the word assurance. Right, same word used in Hebrews. Faith. Now faith is what? Substance of things hoped for. Evidence of things that were there. Evidence, assurance. So scriptures being taught properly is to supply evidence. Supply assurance. Assurance of what? The fact that your eternal state is forever the same. He now tells you, when the assurance is taught, he tells you what happens. He says it brings correction. So the word of truth brings correction in spite and despite the assurance it gives you. Are you here? The word of truth brings correction in spite and despite the assurance it gives you. You ought to be a man, a woman that can be corrected. And don't think the world is against you because you have been corrected. Are we together? Are we together? Why do we pay attention to these things? Because in the real sense, it is what determines and influences how we see life on a lot of conversations. So Paul will say, stand therefore in that liberty where which you have received. He now says, do not use this liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but by love. Do what? Serve one another. Are we together? So how are we saved? We are saved by faith. Are we here? Faith in what? Can we say we are saved by faith in the work of Christ? Can we say we are not saved by works on the earth? Can we say we are not saved by conduct? Can we say we are not saved by love work? Let me tell you something. So if a man has not believed the gospel that Jesus resurrected and is walking in love towards anybody, you slap him today, turn his other face, you slap him. He is not different from a dead man who will be condemned by in the resurrection. Let me say it again. The eternal perspective or the eternal conversation for the believer is forever the same for the believer. There is such a thing that comes with the message of the resurrection that is called condemnation. All together. Is Jesus a judgmental God? Is Jesus a judgmental God? Don't learn sound doctrine to the point where you say it's not. Because you are going towards that one. Is Jesus a judgmental God? Yes. What does he judge is what differs. The day or the moment you teach that, that's why Paul will now tell you about the Bema seat of Christ in 2 Corinthians. The day you teach that God doesn't judge is the day you will teach universalism. Well, you know what universalism is? Some people believe that the doctrine of universalism is a doctrine that says that one day God will just change his mind towards the entire world and everybody will just be saved. Have you heard that doctrine before? People believe that in their thousands. You see, God is just so a loving father. You see, one day he'll just wake up his mind and just convert everybody and say, all of you are saved by force. Are we together? There's such a thing that when you reject God's offering, by default, there's a condemnation that comes with that. There's a judgment that comes with that. So it means that as believers, as saints, we ought to owe ourselves to a high degree of accountability where we condemn things we ought to condemn. What does that mean? If you tell me today, for instance, Sister Prosperous, and say, Sister Esther did something to you you cannot forgive, I ought to condemn that action and not condemn you. The day I begin to speak to you and begin to reduce my relationship with her because she offended you as my friend, I'm walking in the flesh. Your enemy is my enemy because your enemy is your enemy and you are my friend. It's ridiculous. You come and meet me today and because... You see what I'm saying? No? I'm not saying that because he now said this is the person that offended him, I will now deliberately, because of that, now start forming alliances with the person. It's different though. It's different from I have a neutral relationship with both of you, or I know you more than I know him. Are we here? Now, for him, I'm not as close to him as I'm close to you, but I say hello to you. But I stop saying hello to you just because you're having an issue with him. Are we together? I didn't say you are deliberately building a more intense. No. What I'm talking against is the fact that I will now deliberately stay away from him just because him is fighting. And a lot of times, really, I don't even bother to hear his story. You see, every man in scripture that has been used by God had loyal men and women around him or her. You cannot teach it away. But what we are teaching a lot of times on the pulpit, political loyalty. Let me tell you how I know. Let me tell you something. You know that if he is my benefactor, who's benefactor, the one I'm benefiting from? Is that the one? He's the one giving me money. He's the one sponsoring my children. But I'm not too close to him. You know that if he, who is not giving me one naira, but I have intimate relationship with, you know, if he tells me that he's fighting with him, you know I will still use backdoor to go and be collecting money from him. So the only reason why we think that we have looked down on that person, except your conversation remains that because of this, my friend, your child just got admission. You only pay the first year, remains 6 years, messing. And you don't have the money to pay it. So if you will not do that, if there is something that can benefit from him, you are teaching a ridiculous message that is not in scriptures. That's why you see, when people leave God's palace, I'm not saying you should now go and be doing house fellowship with them to grow them in the faith. No. May I never hear from any of you that you're not talking to somebody because they left God's palace. You hear what I said, though? Because you left God's palace, not anybody that is not for you is always against you. Did you hear that? I can't say because we're together, all of a sudden, a lot of times, even we as pastors, somebody is with us and we get bitter about, maybe because, imagine he wakes up tomorrow and tells me that God has laid on his heart to start a church, and I start fighting him. Because I expect him to be, and you know, and the same thing, I was talking with somebody over the week, you know, we were talking about how he left his job and all those kind of things, and he told his boss, he said, I'm about to leave your company, actually. Thank you for all you've done. I'm happy. I want to go into a new phase. He told his boy, he said, if you didn't leave where you were working before, you would not have this company today. Is that not true? If everybody stayed where they were, if my father stayed where he was, where will you be? Would that be God's palace? People will always come into your life and go. Don't treat people as enemies just because they stay away from you for any reason. And don't go and now form clique because they stayed away from your friend. My friend's enemy is already my enemy. Shameful. Paul says, don't use this your liberty as a cause to give room to the flesh. Look at Hebrews 12. Sorry, I made a mistake. I thought I would close here. Are you in Hebrews 12? I hope you are learning something this morning. Please, 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 please. Scripture will tell you, walk in love towards every and anybody as long as it lieth with you. And you know that if priority for everybody is love, we will be in a position where we want to outdo ourselves in love. Let me use a couple, for instance, a couple as an example. You know, if your goal as a husband is to outdo your wife in love, and your goal as your wife is to outdo your husband in love, you will really have issues. See, there's a place where, that is why you ought to listen to the same doctrine. Let me tell you something for free. There's a place where you think you are giving all your love you can give, and the person in your partner, maybe your husband or wife, is not reciprocating. The truth is that if we are talking Bible love, you ought to be dogged and not reduce because he or she isn't giving you. It's not as easy as it sounds. It's not easy to love someone doggedly and the person is hurting you almost. It almost seems like the person is deliberately hurting you by day, and night by night. You know that song? Almost every. It's as if the person is working out his own salvation to hurt you. It's not easy. But let me tell you something. There is never a time that walking in love will be wrong. Did you hear what I said? As long as you are a believer, there is never a time that walking in love will be wrong. Love wins. Love wins. Love wins. Love wins, people. Love wins. That is why in every relationship you find yourself, either man to man, woman to woman, I'm talking of normal relationships, right? Friendship. Hope you got that. Right? You got it. Any relationship you find yourself, friendship or whatever, if love is the fulcrum, you would always have the best interest of the person you are dealing with at heart. I know people can be terrible. You will love. It's still you they are fighting. But love wins. Look at Hebrews 12, verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation we speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art what? Rebuked of him. Hallelujah. Now, how do you think God rebukes the believer today? Primarily through the word? Can we say through the word? Can we say through the lips of your pastor? Because a lot of times you think the word will rebuke you, but you know, the heart of man can twist scriptures because he wants it to favor him. He says, look at verse 6. Let's read verse 6 together. 1, 2, 3, go. For whom, are you there? Hebrews 12, 6. 1, 2, 3, go. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Look at verse 7, 1, 2, 3, go. If ye endure chastening, God deals with you as with. So it means that as a believer, God ought to chasten you. The question is, what kind of chastening does God chasten? Look at what he now says. He says, for what son is he whom his father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastening, whereof are all partakers, then ye are what? Ye are what? Ye are what? Is it your Bible? Ye are what? And are not what? What's the word again? No, the first one. That's your Bible. KJV. Are we together? To put yourself in a place where, you know, God's word is the primary corrector we have. But that a lot of times, because you will not always be sincere with yourself, you need a voice over you to correct you. Are we here? You will not always be sincere with yourself. Some of us can explain basic things in scriptures away with Greek word. But that is when you need someone who is going to have an oversight over you as a pastor. The day your pastor cannot see you do wrong and correct you, you had better leave that place. Because you are forever saved, but you don't know where you are heading to. It says, despise not. Now, this is the writer of Hebrews quoting from Proverbs 3, verse 11. You can write that down later. The word the exhortation in verse, look at verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation. The word the exhortation is the word that means to bring to remembrance. So, it says, ye have forgotten the exhortation, which speaketh. So, how does God chasten?
By what? Through his word.
You get that? So, God doesn't chastise you or chasten you by sending accidents your way. No. All together. God doesn't say, you're not following my path, right? Don't worry. There's accidents in front. Don't worry. I'll put them there, that road. Even if you're not on the road to Zaria, you'll see what they do, experience on Zaria. No, God doesn't use evil to correct the believer. The believer might miss God's word and disobey God's word and find himself in evil. God's corrective mechanism is through his word. So if God's word cannot have final authority over you, then you had better just, we're all saved. Just go to the shrine. If God's word cannot correct you, clearly in the Bible, it cannot correct you. Love. Don't hold grudges against people for long. Don't always be looking for how to fight. Don't always do this. Don't always do that. It can't correct you. He says, my son. He says, who God doesn't chasten, God doesn't love. So can we say, who God doesn't chasten through the lips of your pastor? Can we say that? Can we say that? Can we say, if you are in the wrong, you have a leadership structure that should correct you and bring you back to the right? That's God's will. Why? Because some of us will never hear God's voice as, my son, son. Where are thou? No, I've never heard that voice before. But the truth remains that God still wants to correct. And he says, if you cannot be corrected, he says, here. He says, no sons. You see that said down? He says, no sons. Who's a bastard? A bastard is not really so much of a strong word, except they use it for you wrongly. Sila. Are you together? One who is not identified as a son to a father. Or who doesn't have a father. I have a father. Almighty Father. He is what? King of Kings. So the word of God brings correction to us. Let me tell you something. You might, when you hear it, it might not be palatable. A humble man is somebody who submits himself to the correction of God's word. Did you hear that? A humble man is someone who submits himself to the correction that God's word brings. It might not always be palatable. Whilst you are being corrected, you are assured that your eternal destination is in Christ. You are there forever, perpetually saved. Your sins forever forgiven, always abounding in his love. You are always there. He will never leave you nor forsake you. That is there. You've made what you are looking for as a goal, heaven. Heaven has come into your heart the moment you believe the gospel. Christ God now lives in you by his spirit. But you must be able to be corrected. Are we together? Let me close in verse 14 of that same Hebrews 12, verse 14. Look at verse 12. Oh, precious Jesus. Look at, you know, we're in verse 8, right? Where he said bastard. Are you there? Look at verse 9. It says, furthermore, please, let's read this together. It says, furthermore, just follow as I read. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh. Which what? Can your father correct you? Yes, your father corrected you. If you are one who your father, you didn't have an opportunity for your father to be corrected, or your father to correct you, there's a tendency for you to refrain from correction. Are you here? If you didn't have a mother figure, a father figure, or someone who was like a guardian to correct you, because let me tell you something, you will rarely find someone who everything he does is perfect while he was growing up. We are in a world that is full of so much influence. A lot of people, a lot of things influence us. So he says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. See what he says? And we gave them what? We gave them what? How many of you are happy your father corrected you? You see, I look back today and I'm happy for the fact that my dad beat me sometimes. Because there's sometimes he beats me and I only got the memo by the beat. There's some memos he tried to communicate to me I never got with his words. Hallelujah. Sometimes Cain is good, though. Are we together? I'm not saying go and look for her to just because my father flogged me anyhow. My dad dealt with me. I didn't get here by living a loose life. I had correction. I had scolding. I can show you marks on my body where they flogged me. Jesus had his own. I have my own. I can show you marks on my body. My dad deals with you. Your eye will open. Your eye will open. That, maybe that's why I started seeing the spirit. Your eye will just... I'm not even laughing with you. Your eye will open. My dad was a strict disciplinarian. I cannot give less to my children. You say, well, go and warn... No. I cannot take nonsense. So all this liberality and liberty. He says, don't use liberty to the flesh. No. Ah. Is my wife online? No, just be sure. I can't take that. No, because I know what it has. I know. You don't have to tell me. My head is correct. You don't have to tell me. Yeah, my dad took me with his hand and labored over my life, both in the place of prayer, place of the word, and place of king. My dad used all sorts of things to flog me. Is it wire? Is it extension box? Tell about my dad I didn't used to like. So when he flogs you, it's there you start your punishment. You know the difference when you do your kadama? You know this kadama is crazy. Hey, my goodness. Or you kneel down. My mom that time, my mom is a very calm, she seems calm. Well, how she used to flog us that time is, bring your hand. You do like this. Hey, my dad. You do like this. You now do like this. Hey, my dad. You are the vessel. You are a vessel. He flogs you. But I'm grateful for him. You don't have to tell me my head is working. You don't have to tell me. Not so many people can take off the responsibility I took up at my very young age. I know my head is working. Don't tell me. But I owe it to my parents. So you always need that guide. You always need that guide. Let me tell you, this world, you need to be careful with your children, no? You need to be careful. I'm not saying you must flog. I'm not saying that. But you need to be careful. What can do the work? But Cain is always faster. Words do the work. But Cain, he has a way. He resets you. You think of the Cain at home. Oh, what a joy that waited for you at home. And when you think of it, your head is reset at home, at work. Then when I was still in a much younger class, I used to be scared of open, you know, open day. Went to a good school, open day, one, maybe twice in a what do you call it, term. Parents will come. They'll be going through your notes. Eh, this is what you're writing. who was the highest in this course? What did you get? 2/4? You get it, right? My dad will say 2/4. He must say 2/15. I miss him. Right? But my head is working. I can't have a child who says it will not work. That's why I don't want to have more than two. Yeah. What works? The synergy has to be there. We have to work it out. Work out your faith. No, now if you have to, even in this generation, we don't have plenty. You'll be frustrated. Not a frustrated. That's your goal. If you want to have national football team, that's your business. I'm going to drop all of them at under 17. That's your business. But me, I want to have just two. Where we know that we will talk sense to them. Like, you are not out of my reach. Not that I'll go and pick one from Odishona Primary School, pick one from Holy Trinity, go and pick one from CRS, go and pick one from Premier. I'm doing school runs. I'm doing school runs. No. Just two. Two of you, same school. Male unisex school. Say, attend there. Say, let me know your lecture. I speak to you. Once I'm done with you, I go and leave your sister, your brother. You know, just like that. Yeah. You know, but I can tell you for free, I am grateful for it. Let me show you where I'm going to. Are you there, please? Give me a few more minutes today, okay? Are you there? It says, we gave them reference. What did he now say? Shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? What is he saying? If your father can scold you, you gave him reference. You should find it as a privilege when God scolds you through his word from the lips of your pastor. Look what he says in verse 10. For they verily for a few days they chasten us after their own what? Pleasure. But he does it for our... But for God, it's for your profit, your pleasure. He now says what again? That we might be partakers of what? His holiness. Hallelujah. He says, now, not chastening for the present seemeth to be what? Hallelujah. How many of you, your father flogged you, were rejoicing? You were laughing in the Holy Ghost. Your father flogged you, say, ha, 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 ha. You say, ho, 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 ho. How many of you did that? No, it's not joyful. How many of you, at some point in your life, wanted to run away from your father's house? All of us. I'll leave this house for all of you. We are still there. I'll leave this house for all of you. So, in fact, I can remember the day I planned my leaving the house. I planned it. Can I take it? If I go with this box, with that box, put this there. But the reason I didn't go was because in my revelation knowledge, I saw myself to be under the bridge. Because that's the only place I will end up, under the bridge. My head, that one too, reset me. Hunger will bring, my dad will tell you, say, then when I started growing tall, he said, if like be as tall as Nepal pole, you are still my son. I can beat you any day. That's what I tell my younger brother. If like be taller, he has grown, he is growing, he is more exposed. We are more lenient. Because last ones, we are always lenient with them. As if we forgot, as if we forgot how we trained them or how they trained us. But his head too is correct. Hallelujah. His head too is getting there. He knows where to not mess up. He's really around me. I don't owe him an apology. Neither do I any of you. Not that you see, the way I scold him in church is not the way I scold some of you. You know now. You see when I scold my younger brother in church? It's not the way I scold you now. Ah, he must do well. My dad made it an anthem on my head. This one, he said, you will not carry evil. You will do well. He says, the chastening is not going to be joyous. He says, but grievous. He says, nevertheless, afterwards, it what? It yielded the peaceable fruit of what? Righteousness unto them which are what? Exercised thereby. He says, wherefore, lift up your hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight your path and your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be what? Healed. He now says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Where? In you. Hallelujah. He has told you, he said, don't allow your way, allow a lame man turn his way to a wayward place, but let him be healed by your conduct. So when he says, follow peace with all men and holiness, he's saying, without which no man shall see the Lord in you. And that goes further and speaks about Esau, the preferred person, and all of that. Have you learned something this morning? So your conduct, your conversation as a believer, your lifestyle as a believer is an example that ought to be followed diligently, that you ought to pay attention to diligently. Say, I will not stray away. Say, I will look at, say it very well. Say, I will not stray away. Say, they will not look for me on the path of evil. Say, they will not look for me at the path of bad conduct. Say, I will remain sane. Say, I will remain sane. Devote to convictions, devote to God's word, and devote to conduct. Bow your heads and talk in tongues for a while as we close.